morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. The good-looking guy you see there is he goes by the title of Congressman Richard Neal. He's our congressman. He represents us, Berkshire County, all Western Mass. And full disclosure, I've known this guy since, kind of scary stuff, I believe 1975 or four, in that vicinity. He had beautiful hair, still does. It's a little gray. I used to have long blonde hair, and now I look like a cue ball. But I have the utmost respect for the congressman. I really do. He's always been there for us. And that's I don't think anybody can say that about both sides of the aisle, everybody there. But without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, Congressman Richard Neal, how are you, brother?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Well, I'm older, fatter, and balder than the last time you saw me, but other than that, I'm good.
You look great.
Thank you. I want to just say this before I forget, because, you know, at my age, I forget where the car is. I interviewed a man this morning. I'm going to send this to Jack later on. You and I are both history crazy people.
Yes.
Love history. All right. He's written, his name is Dennis Pragent, Marine Corps, Vietnam. The boys of St. Joe 65 in the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
That's St. Joe North Adams.
Yeah.
He even mentioned our mutual friend, Barrett. And so there you go. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Born in the Berkshires is his second book. Berkshire Patriots is his third book. And the one, his newest book, and I can't wait. I can't wait to buy it. Berkshire Heroes in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to share that with you. And we can talk about this other malarkey, as my Irish mother would say, is going on. But because you're a history buff, I read his first book.
Mm-hmm.
The Boys of 65, and I'll tell you, it's a history book, but it's a humanistic history book about the people in it.
Well, I think that you can make the argument with your service and others like you, it was consistent with those first shots that were fired to begin the American Revolution.
Yeah.
It's still the power of the ideal and the power of the idea.
Yeah.
And I think that we're now on really the eve of celebrating the official start of the American Revolution with the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And it should be a reminder of what succeeding generations did as well, who were inspired by that declaration, by the Constitution. And every time you look at the statistical data, because you can't deny the reality of demography.
Yeah.
And now our Vietnam veterans are in their 70s and 80s, 90s in some instances. Our World War II guys, and they're rapidly becoming extinct. I saw a powerful picture the other day because of what happened at Omaha Beach.
Uh-huh.
And they had a service member, I think he was about 105 years old, 106 years old. And I think sometimes when we talk about history, as you and I faithfully do and enjoy, we have to be careful not to generalize it.
Right.
These were specific cases of, in those instances, 18 and 19-year-old men at Omaha Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, against all odds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Eisenhower's just waiting for a weather forecast. You know, we start to think about, as you, Bill, would know, we start to think about all of these projections, all of, we know this is going to happen, we know that's going to happen, and then you have to wait for a good weather forecast before you can do it. It's a pretty powerful story. And I often think, you know, the American Civil War, 15-year-old kids.
Yeah, yeah. Quit school and lied about their age.
Lied about their age. Joe Moakley.
Yeah, I forgot
he
about
lied
him.
About
oh,
his
God,
age.
Yeah.
Lied about his age, quit school at 15 and joined the Navy.
I mean, I'll tell you, when you stop and think about it, and you know, we have a mutual friend, His name is Smitty Pignatelli.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah, but I'd never tell him. But he is a great guy. You know what he's doing? He's bringing a Vietnam Wall here in July, 10th through the 13th, I believe. Then he's spearheading a Gold Star Memorial situation in Lenox. We also agree on this, and I think you might agree with us too. We need to move up history. We need to, I know they spend a lot of time on Rome and Greece, and that's where a lot of our stuff was formed. But let's move ahead to World War II, to World War I. Why did they happen?
Yeah.
How? What did it cost? That's what always gets me, Congressman, the cost. You know, I go to the VA hospital now. I'm an old guy. I mean, I said that they were going to transfer my doctor. I said, no, you're not. No. I've had that doctor for 18 years. I'm claiming seniority rights.
Yeah.
And they went along with it. But because he's nuts anyhow. But bottom line, I see these kids coming in. They're kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to I'll send it to Jack. I interviewed a 102-year-old Normandy corpsman on air. You can't believe the wonderful feedback I got.
Mm-hmm.
People, and Smitty got him a citation from this state house. So, again, I think you and I and Smitty and a lot of other people at our age, I guess, because we've seen a lot. I know one of your friends down there think that it's time for us to go out to pasture.
Well, I got to tell you.
I had to tell her, if I went out to pasture, it'd be an utter failure.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this, too, about pasture. And they make these arguments. What the press needs to ask them is stop telling us this is about Cincinnatus and start telling us this is about Machiavelli.
Yeah.
Because it's about ambition.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. And, you know, your reminder, as where I'm sitting, about maybe 50 yards from here is Technical High School.
Yes.
And that's where I went. And that was a period of growing up in the sense that that was the first time in 65, 66, in my class, 67, where classmates had been killed in Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know, I graduated from Tech and I went to college. Richard Girton, he graduated from Tech and went to Vietnam and he was dead that fall.
Yeah.
And his name is on that monument in Court Square, which I was able to have constructed when I was mayor. The Vietnam veterans asked for it. But we need to always remember what that sacrifice meant. There was a story recently over the last week that's once again got my attention. It's when these bodies are being returned now from World War II.
Yes.
Korea and Vietnam.
Yep.
We can never give up. And now science has given us a new lever.
DNA.
DNA. And brothers and sisters get to find out what really happened and when it happened, and it gives them some closure. But you know, Bill, think of all those parents in the Berkshires, for those missing in action who never will know or have never known to this moment what really happened.
Well, I have been graced to speak a few times at Memorial Day services. Smitty's asked me to speak at the wall. But what I always remember, and I get a little emotional, so if I do, pick up if I stop, pause here. But I think of them quite a bit more now that I'm old. Maybe I have the time. You know, when you're a kid and you're running and you have kids and you got to get to work and you got all these ball games. But now that I'm old, I think more and more of them. And what sticks in my mind are two things. I'm an old man now with aches and pains. I don't say a word because they never got that opportunity.
Yeah.
That's the first one. And they will be, in my mind, in their family's mind, forever 19.
Yes.
You know, and the
very
last
important
pictures they have are their class pictures, their high school class pictures, or their basic training final photographs. So I think let's not let, let's I don't know how to humanize. Let's humanize their sacrifice.
You couldn't be more correct. And in addition to which, these extraordinary moments in American military history often were accomplished and achieved by the simple valor of an individual.
Absolutely. No question about it.
My mother had five brothers, and they all served in the military. My dad did. His brother did. And you know, the other thing is that was amazing, I think, they never thought that what they had done was special.
I know.
They just felt this is what you're supposed to do. You know, I was a big supporter of George McGovern when he ran for president. And after the total annihilation that he received from Richard Nixon, with the exception of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
George McGovern.
How'd that work out? To interrupt you. How'd that work out for us?
Didn't work out that well, but I always thought one of the telling moments was after the election, somebody said to McGovern, well, how come you never talked about your 36 combat missions that you flew over Germany? And he said, we just thought that's what we were supposed to do.
Yeah. The Polish princess and I's first landlord was a tail gunner on a B-17. Never talked about it till he had a couple of Manhattans.
Yeah.
And then basically what he shared with you was how you reacted because of your training. Because he said when those German Messerschmitts would line right up with you, you could see his eyes and he could see yours.
Yeah.
Who shoots first, you know? But, well, I think we, I hope now, you're in a precarious position in Washington, and we as a country are in a precarious, along with our Jewish allies.
Yep.
And I don't pretend to know the right answer, but it's in the hands of people, I hope, smarter than me. And understand, you know what always, you're sensitive, and I mean this as a compliment. You and I kid each other, but this I mean from my heart. There are people who never served, and they're not sensitive to what it is to serve.
Yeah.
And you know, I try to acknowledge if it comes up on the Facebook, some person, or police officer, firefighter, soldier, Marine, get killed, I try to say, thank you for your service and sacrifice.
Yeah.
May you rest in peace. But right now, and you're there, you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And
I hope that even with the events in the last 5 days in the Middle East with Iran and Israel, I hope that we will not precipitously involve ourselves in this without a consultation with Congress. I think that it's one thing to talk about bluster, but look, let's be frank, the disaster that became the Iraq War harmed our reputation internationally.
Yeah.
And not the sacrifice of those young men, the ones that died or were wounded. I went to every funeral, went to those military hospitals to visit with them. And there was one young guy who said, the situation was so sad. And he said, thank you for coming to see me. I said, thank you for what you did.
Yeah.
That's the better answer. Took me nothing to get out here. It took everything for you to do what you did. And I guess that, again, Iraq has set America's reputation back in the world because the premise of the war was weapons of mass destruction. And for those who are now clamoring for us to take action against Iran, we need to slow down on this. And congressional consultation is going to be really important for all of us. Look, it is a cauldron in the Middle East.
Oh.
And I understand there's nobody here cheering for the Ayatollah, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we want to make sure that anything that takes place there is carefully calculated and then carefully orchestrated or not.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
And you know, I hear these talking heads, and I guess I get a lot of money. I don't get paid. I do this voluntarily. I'm going to start complaining. If you don't take it, I mean, as I said, there are much smarter people than me. that are going to be figuring this thing out. And like you, I think there should be a consensus.
Yes.
And on both sides of the aisle, they got to put their ego, that Freud called an ego, Billy calls it ego. I go first. Put your egos in the drawer and think of the common good.
Yep.
Not the clicks on the internet and all that nonsense. Because for those of us who have seen what can happen because of a misstep.
Yep.
I have to tell you what happened to me. It's got nothing to do with the interview, but I got to share it with you. About zealots. So I had my Vietnam Memorial Day time frame. Had my Vietnam hat on. And I'm at a major big box store. I don't want to say it because I don't need any more trouble. So, and this woman coming at me, I'm going down with the cart, you know, with my list from the Polish princess. And I'm very attentive because if I make a mistake, boy, it ain't worth coming home. But and all of a sudden, this woman says to me, "How dare you wear that hat?" I said, "I'm sorry." She said, "What you people did is disgraceful and criminal." Well, you know, our friend, our mutual friend, Sergeant Thomas Fitzgerald, taught me in the police academy that you can't have a legitimate discussion with a fool or a drunk.
Right.
So just make up your mind what you're going to do and do it.
Yeah.
So I made up my mind. Just keep pushing the cart, Billy Boy.
Smart move.
You know? But how many? I've been home for 55 years.
Yep.
So.
And your service was entirely honorable.
Well, yeah, I think so. You know, now that I'm an old man with some health situations, I said to the doctor, "Let me share with you, doctor, what a fine, miserable first sergeant said to me one time. Something gonna kill you." That was it. Something gonna kill you. But no, I think going forward, I thank you for being late so I could read your latest press release.
Good.
Yeah. Gee, thanks, Jack.
Jack is pretty good.
Yeah, he is. Well, Margaret's got him in line.
He had good training.
Yes, he did. And it isn't over. you know, I will tell you, what's your gut? Do you think this Elon and all this, do you think they are going to, there's rumors, I don't know how, there's rumors everywhere, but do you think they're going to go after the veterans' benefits?
No, I don't. And I think that Musk didn't know what he was talking about then, and he doesn't know what he's talking about now. You know, for all that talk, all of a sudden, a veterans group that I met with Ludlow about 2 months ago.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
They're talking to me, and they're saying that their physical exam then was being proposed, that it would be done through telehealth by somebody from at the other end of the state.
Yeah.
The guy only wants a physical once a year. That's no big deal. And I think that the threat of closing some of these offices is ill-considered.
Yeah. And well, they were going to close. They were going to sell Conti Building.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they just put millions of dollars into the VA clinic upstairs. Yeah.
We stopped that, believe me, closing it. And I want to say this as well, that sometimes the skill set for a successful business person, it's not the same skill set that you need in government or vice versa. Yeah. And I thought what Musk did, closing Social Security offices, telling people he was going to save $2 trillion, he's going to save about $100 billion. $100 billion in a $36 trillion economy. And I don't say this to say, suggest that, look, if there's waste, fraud, or abuse, that's what the U.S. Attorney's Office is for.
Yep.
But what he's saying is that if you work for the government, that somehow you're incompetent. Those people at the VA, they do a really good job. Oh. That PAC Act is really good.
Yes, excellent.
And I meet with those people faithfully and regularly. And someday, I promise you, if you want, I'll send Jack up to get you, and we'll go down and take a look at the Holyoke Soldiers Home. You should see it.
I would love to. I would love to, because
you should see it, Bill. And it's going to open, I think, in the fall. but it's probably three quarters of the way done now.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Well, I would really enjoy that. And the Polish princess, that I may, if I don't straighten out my act, I may be living there. But no, but what you're saying is so true. I've had enough time in government to understand, and I worked in private industry. Government is an animal unto itself.
That's right.
Now, if no one asked, but if Elon had called and said, "Hey, Baldy, how would you do this?" I would say, what I would do is reach out to people who have retired from these agencies and bring them in and have them point out where they think the fat is.
Yeah.
Because and I know those folks, they do know.
Yeah. I've just been reading this book, Bill, that you would enjoy. It's by Michael Lewis. It's about, I think it's called What Government Does. And it's only about maybe 220 pages or so, but he goes out, seeks out, and interviews these people that do these remarkable things every day, whether it was in mine safety. You
Yeah.
and I know when we were kids, it
Yeah.
was not unusual to hear a story about the
Absolutely.
mine workers, 250 of them dying when a mine collapsed.
Absolutely.
And this guy devoted his life to making the mine safe. And it's worked overwhelmingly. And another guy who heads the national cemeteries, what he does, and it's people that just do a good job every single
Every
day
day.
in a storied career where they seek no attention.
I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I know you know him. His last name was Hogan. He was there forever. A mind is a terrible thing to lose. Jack, if you find mine, drop it in the mail. But what he taught me was how valid, when I was a young kid there, how valid what goes on in that chamber is to the world. Now, you've been there a while. You have had to see it change.
It has changed. And when I walk into that chamber, I can't tell you how many times I have said to myself, Abraham Lincoln served here. Not bad company.
No.
And Jack Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, George Bush Sr., they all served in that institution.
Yeah.
James Madison served on the same committee I serve on. Look, we've had difficult moments, but nothing like the Civil War.
No.
And in addition to which, politics is a substitute for war. That's where you bring your arguments. Doesn't mean that you necessarily are always right,
No.
but at
No.
least you then get to raise the question and have an answer.
And you and I are old enough to remember those glory days. I was there. Tip was speaker initially.
Yeah.
Reagan. I mean, they got stuff done. And what I'm hearing, and I try to be to as many functions as I can. As I told Marchetti, I would go to more city council meetings if you'd put recliners in, and you'd put a alcohol serving beverage bar in the back. But I stay at home and fill those two things. But the bottom line is we gotta. Jack Kennedy said it, and you can quote. You and I make quote. If I quote wrong, please correct me. But it isn't a Republican thing. It isn't a Democratic thing. Is it the right thing?
Yes.
And I live with that every day. I try to do the right thing.
Well, Jack Kennedy also said, God's work here on earth must truly be our own. Starts with each one of us.
And Congressman, when you've been there, you've made this. I love when these younger congressmen come and congresswomen. We're gonna make this, lady, sir. There's a gray-haired guy by the name of Neil. He'll help you make the sausage, but you need to ask him respectfully.
Yeah.
That I guess we come from a different era.
We do, but I also think that part of the experience we had in life was far better because we didn't have the abundance of social media that we have now.
Oh, yeah.
I think that social media is very important. It's not a put down. I'm not a Luddite or anything like that. But I think social media has put more distance between us.
Oh.
It's easier to assail somebody online that you don't know or you're never
Yeah.
going to meet. It's easier to argue with people that you're never going to discover.
Right.
And I also think it's a colossal waste of time.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I not the I have a book. It's at the editor now. It's the title, the rough title, or the they haven't publisher hasn't agreed to it yet, but the title is Today All Kids Are at Risk.
Yeah.
And it's because of all that's going on. I just really believe in, you know, it's never going back the way we knew it. Never.
Yeah.
But boy,
Well,
it certainly can make some changes.
It's also made for what I call instant opinion.
Yeah.
We make up our minds based on just what's in front of us. When the truth is, 5 days later, you say, how the hell could I have believed that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then I also think that I was reading this story just a couple of days ago with the mayor of New York. He had one of these professional influencers. The guy's a hate monger.
Oh.
And then the mayor denies knowing what the guy was, even though he had him to his home. And they're smoking cigars. I think where we come from in Pittsfield and Springfield, you're not going to fool us.
No.
You know what I mean? You're just not going to fool us.
You know, as I tell people, I'm not as dumb as I look. But, you know, going back to what's going on now, I read your press release. We're going to have to take a break. Let's just take a quick break right here because I know you got to go. And but I do want to – this is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are broadcasting on PCTV channel 1301 Spectrum Cable. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
The Pittsfield Health Department is hosting monthly wellness clinics available to the community at the Christian Center, Senior Center, Epworth Arms, Capitol Square, and South Congregational Church. Vital sign checks, medication reviews, and health assessments are offered by the public health nurse. Our social worker will be there with information of available resources as well. For more information about these clinics, please contact us at 413-499-9411.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR-FM for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, his name is Congressman Richard Neal. He's our congressman. And I mean that not because I consider him a friend. I've known him a long time. Let me say this. We both have aged well together.
That's the answer.
There it is. But he's always been for us. He comes home on weekends. He doesn't go down in September and come home in April. He's home most, like some others. But he's always been honest. If he tells you white is white, it's white. And that's how I found him. And Congressman, and I mean that, you know, from my heart, I've called his office and always got great results. So if, and sometimes, and we just said it before the break, and the congressman started to, and he's going to do it now. They're not ever going to do away with Social Security.
No chance. I mean, Social Security is the greatest anti-poverty program in the history of the world.
Yeah, and
it's transformed the way people live. It gives our seniors a sense of independence. And when I hear young people say, well, it's not going to be there. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And then I say to them a little bit tersely, I say, just remember, the reason your mother and father are not living in your attic, it's because of Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, no, there's so much truth to what you just said. I'll share with you a story of a lady when Spectrum Cable, I've shared this on the air before, Spectrum Cable back then raised their box to, I think it was $7 a box. Now I think it's like, I don't know what. But I do know this. The Polish princess says the next raise in the bill, you get up with the antenna. So, but this elderly
not in an electrical storm, I hope.
She would, yeah. Well, she got the. I saw her looking at the insurance policies the other day. My heart broke for her. We had this public hearing, and this lady stood up and she said, $7 a month may not seem like a lot to you because there were Spectrum people were there, but she said, $7 a month to me can be a co-payment for my medicine,
yep,
a co-payment for my doctor's visits, groceries, or I put it towards my heat in the winter. And I'll tell you, you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, and I say this to you, Congressman, I mean it sincere. You care about the people. You know, we can always fix the policy.
Yeah.
You can't always fix the damage to the people.
Well, when you consider all the talk about Social Security, the average Social Security benefit is about $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
That means half the people that get Social Security get less than $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
And $20,000 a year is about $400 a week.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting rich on Social Security. It's an earned benefit. And it's there because Franklin Roosevelt had the vision, and his description of it was to guard against the vicissitudes of life. It's as simple as that. If we all could predict where things were going, we'd all be financial geniuses.
Yeah.
But we're not.
Well, I'm not. I can tell you that. I mean, I would like to see, and I'll explain why. I would like to see less demonstrations, less hatred.
Yeah.
I was a victim of a demonstration. The day I returned from Vietnam, I was walking through the Seattle airport. I will never move to Washington State. I was walking through the Seattle airport, and this guy threw a huge big gulp. and it got me right on the shoulder.
All right.
I didn't see it coming. And I was just telling Smitty another event. I was asked to leave a party in Lenox because I was serving. I was home on leave, and I was serving in Vietnam. I was asked to leave the party. So, it's nice to protest, and you have that right. You're an American.
Sure, sure.
But you don't have a right to burn somebody's car or break their house and you see it. I mean, you're a
peaceful protest
experience guy.
Yeah, peaceful protest is a very important ingrained right that we have in America.
Exactly.
Emphasis on the word peaceful.
Exactly. Exactly. And, kind of whether they realize it or not, they're playing into their enemy's hands.
That's right. Well, I just
giving thought, them that you're giving them the ammunition.
Yeah. I thought, for example, I'm in favor of legal immigration. It's important for America.
Exactly.
And I'm in favor of getting rid of criminals for sure that are here illegally or the criminal, if they commit a criminal act, they should go. Now, having said that, I don't think we should be rating people who are going to regularize their process at the federal courthouse on their status. But I also would say this, it was not helpful to see that picture of the young man with the Mexican flag standing on a burning car.
No.
It doesn't help the argument.
No. And again, I think of our good friend Thomas Fitzgerald, Sergeant Chief.
Chief.
When I met him, he was just a lowly sergeant. Then he got to
I appointed him chief.
I know. Yeah. That's being looked into. But when you think about that, and I'm glad we're having this conversation. I hope it doesn't make you uneasy. But what you just said is so true. Here we're trying to protect people, our people, all people. And now this morning they said Trinidad and Lagua up there again in Colorado, tormenting people who just moved into a house. It's been on. I'm with you. I spent my whole life in a criminal justice system.
Yeah.
Can it be tweaked? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I've got, if you're ever interested, I got 1,000 ideas. But the one thing that we have to make sure we're safe.
Yeah. And you need to know who's in the country.
Yeah.
I think that the process of legal immigration is essential. And I think for people who've been here for a long time, their children were born here, let's give them a path to citizenship. If they haven't broken any laws or they haven't done anything that's mischievous, let's give them a shot. I do think that the rioting in Los Angeles, it was confined to a very small space. But I also think that damaging anybody's property.
That's right.
Is wrong.
Some of the places they burn, they're mom and pops.
Yep, that's right.
they're not Walmart. They don't have a backup of a gazillion dollars. They got what's in the bank.
Yep, if that.
The banks loaned them. Yeah, yeah, and we have to. I don't know how to say this tactfully. But, me and tact, the two words don't go together. No one ever says Bill Sturgeon's tactful.
No, nobody ever said when. Did they talk to Bill Sturgeon and he's undecided?
Yeah. Oh, no. But I would say this, too. We all of us have to tone down the rhetoric.
Yes. Positively.
It doesn't help when people of stature get up and say stupid things.
Yep.
And
I don't think that it speaks well of us.
No.
If we think that if we're louder than the next person, we've won the argument.
No. No, and as we age gracefully, I'd like to say that you're more gracefully than me because you used to have that. And it's nice looking. The future is certainly difficult to see right now.
Yeah.
And I hope for my grandbabies, that they have some semblance of life similar to what we had.
Well, we're all experts on the past.
Yeah.
Trying to foresee the future is always the challenge. But I do think that social media, which I use and you use, I think with social media, one of the challenges we have is disinformation. Misinformation can be an honest mistake.
Yeah.
But disinformation is a deliberate effort to distort an outcome.
That's right.
And I think that we need to do a better job of discerning the differences.
I can't agree with you more. Yeah. And, I mean, I hear some things on, you know, I surfed them all.
Yeah.
And you know, my sadly Irish mother must be spinning in her grave because I use words. But most of the time, the word I use is malarkey.
Malarkey.
When I hear it, I go, that's malarkey. They're not going to do that. But I'll be lo and behold, lately, I'm not sure a lot anymore. You know, I mean, I thank you for, and I mean this from my heart, thank you for saying they're not going to play with veterans' benefits. Because I know a lot of these vets, they're in their 70s, 80s now.
Sure.
And they're dependent on that, you know, disability check. And
no question. And they earned it.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, if you got a disability from the VA, trust me, you know, you've been familiar with the VA for how many years?
Yeah.
They're not giving out disabilities. Trust me.
That's right.
You got, as the guy said to me, I don't know what your whose problem was with you. He said, your records go all the way back to Vietnam. And the other thing I do want to say this too, there's a lot of, I don't want to get into the nonsense about President Biden. But I will say this. President Biden, Congressman Neal, people in the Congress at the time passed the PAC Act.
You got it.
President signed it.
Yep.
Now, I don't – who am I? I'm a nobody. But I tell you this. I thank them every day.
Yep. So you have the PAC Act. You have postal reform, which saved the post office. You have the infrastructure bill. You have the Butch Lewis Act that saved 2 million pensions. Yep. You have the Secure Act and retirement savings. You have the Science Act. You have the American Rescue Package. All of these things came through during Joe Biden's time.
Yeah,
I understand right now the debate over his personal health. I get it.
Right.
And that's reasonable. I understand it. But not to be insulting or degrading about
it. You and I both know Joe Biden.
That's right. And a very decent human being. You know, and this argument, I understand, again, if you want to question how the information was passed on to the public, that's right. A legitimate beef.
That's right. I don't disagree with that either.
But this notion of treating it with cruel description and conversation, we could go back and say President Reagan's last term.
Yeah, exactly.
And none of us were denigrating his service.
It seems to be, how can I hurt you personally?
That's it. That's right. How can I ridicule, scorn, or heap unreasonable descriptions of you? That, and it's painful. I also think that part of it is rewarded in media.
Yeah.
I've said to my friends in media, you're the referee.
Yeah.
We need you.
To be honest. Yeah. If you see me walking out in the yard by myself, say, you know, he shouldn't be out there by himself. I mean, and I don't say that kiddingly anymore because, you know, I'm 78 years old. Mm-hmm. I've got some health issues, but I have friends that are good friends that are in dementia care. They're in the nursing home locked wards, but secure wards.
Yeah.
Because we go out with the Polish princess and I, we visit them.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they know us and sometimes they don't.
Right.
But
well, the other part of it is that when I hear people talking about this cutting Medicaid, Medicaid is long-term care now.
Yeah.
More than half of the dollar in Medicaid goes to long-term care. And as you described it, if we're going to live longer, there's going to be more dementia.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's just again and again and again, all these things. Let's look at them. As I said earlier, and I repeat myself, but when you get to be 78, you can repeat yourself too. Let's look at them from the human. We can always fix the policy, the written policy. We can't fix the hurt that it brought to a human being or human beings.
Well, the history of dementia is that people stay with the loved one for as long as they can.
Right, exactly.
Then they give up their work. They start changing their own habits. And then
they don't sleep.
They don't sleep. And then they come to the conclusion there's nothing I can do. But I have to see some sort of secure setting.
Right. And that's where I think, again, if we can build up the home care piece.
Yes.
Because I can tell you, you could pay a home care person $80,000 a year and you'll be saving money.
Yeah.
And you're right about it. I'm just thinking back, a very good friend of mine, his wife kept him at home and kept him. But then he started getting up at night and getting dressed to go to work.
Yeah.
And she just finally had to give up the ghost.
You want to do the fondness based on the experience you had from a different time.
Exactly. I can also tell you, and I must tell you this from a saintly mother looking down. My grandparents, my mother has three sisters that were St. Luke's graduate nurses.
Yeah.
Very proud of that. St. Luke's Nursing School. Don't you forget it, mister. And anyhow, she would walk me and my sister 2 miles twice a day to take care of my grandparents. They kept them home, and the girls all took turns.
Yeah.
And you're right. But I think, again, rather than just go cut it, sit back and say, how can we fix it?
Yeah, that's right. And even, you know, with Medicaid, it's important to all of us so that people get health care.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper for all of us in the long run if everybody has access. Because then you don't have that catastrophic care that somebody needs if they've been getting regular health care and an earlier diagnosis.
Billy Clinton did a great job, don't
you? He did a great job on it. Yeah. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Well, mention my name. He doesn't know me. But seriously, I think when I think back, in fact, I just did a little research for this interview. When I think back and what President Clinton did for Medicare, get people out to work. I mean,
he was right.
He was a visionary.
He was visionary. You know, and it was, in terms of economics, it's 6 of the 8 years were about as good as America's ever had.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
We balanced the budget
4 times.
You were part of that.
I was part of it. Those were some tough votes.
Yeah. I mean,
I keep hearing that if we only have more tax cuts, we can balance the budget. I don't think that arithmetic works.
I don't, like I said, that's outside my lane, but it's not outside yours.
Yeah.
You were an integral part of that whole situation.
Yep. Very proud of what we did.
People need to know that. I'm not running for office. As I told somebody the other day, they asked me if I was going to run for, I call it city council. And I said, listen, at my age, and with my health, I don't run for things. I run from things. But again, what I'm seeing, I don't know if you're seeing it nationally or statewide. Not a lot of people are throwing their hat in the ring anymore.
Well, let's be honest. There's a big price to pay for it. And I don't mean just the physical assaults now, which are becoming more and more manifest. But I think that it takes no courage to badmouth people through social media anonymously.
No.
And it takes no courage to threaten and try to intimidate people anonymously.
Exactly.
I object to people wearing masks and protesting. If you really feel that strongly about what you are saying,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't wear a mask when I cast a vote.
Look at you and I.
Yeah.
I mean, we're having a discussion now.
That's right.
Sure, I'll get feedback. I'm sure you'll get feedback. But, you know, I have to tell you this before I let you go, because if I don't let you go, you know, Jack's getting a lot like Margaret.
Yeah.
I don't know how to... I don't know how that's happening, but somebody told me they got together. But here's the thing. I really believe in what you're trying to do in Washington, you personally. I'm not sure everybody, even with the D after the name, is behind that, is behind you or behind
sure.
you. But that's your fight. My fight is... We have to have people like the congressman who they're down there and the congressman swings the bat every day.
Yep.
For us, not for him. And I applaud you. I thank you for your service. I mean, sometimes when I read in the paper and I'm thinking of you or watching TV, I'm going, God, he's probably got it as bad as I had it in Annam. I appreciate you coming on this program. The feedback I get, some good, some, you know, but we can live with that. Here's the thing.
It's democracy.
It is. And get the word out. You don't have to agree with me, agree with the congressman, but you also don't have to be nasty.
Right.
Congressman Neal, I don't care what they say. I think you should give Jack a raise.
He just agreed with you.
I know he did. Yeah, he asked me to say it. He sent me a thing right here. Bill, ask for a raise for Jack. Yeah. No, seriously.
Did Margaret text you?
No. Yeah. Well, you know, I will say this. Thank you for your service to this country. You have always stood up for the little guy.
Yeah.
And you know, when I go to the cemetery, this may sound hokey, but that's me. I stand by my parents' grave and I say thank you.
Yep, that's
thank
your
you
life.
For what all you have done for me, I would have been another person if it wasn't for your upbringing.
You bet your life.
And if you need any help, let me know. I'll send the Polish princess down.
You're great. Enjoy being with you always.
She'll straighten that place out. She's got a lot of experience.
You.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you, Jack.
Great to talk to you, Bill.
And we'll be in touch. And I will send you that interview with that 102-year-old
please do.
Normandy vet. Yeah.
Please do.
All right. The Thanks, Congressman Bill. Has to go. I'm going to – don't be frightened. I'm going to stay with you alone. So we've got a few more minutes. I want to just go over a couple of things that are important to me. And that is, let's be kinder to each other. I mean, it's awful. I almost got run over in the grocery store by somebody that was in a hurry, and I can't hurry anymore. So, but you're good people. We're good people. We'll do okay. We'll make it. But we also have to remember there are other people out there who need our help and prayers or whatever. So stay the course and don't be – just stay the course. It's hard. I got to cut one announcement. It's Berkshire Pride Month, and there's a lot going on. And when you stop and think about all the things that they have been doing, it's really I can't say enough about all the stuff. I apologize. I don't apologize. It's not my fault. But I do say to those people, the weather has not been a friend to anyone, especially all the people who've had all these pride things planned. I will say this. Still coming up on 6/28, Berkshire Busk Pride Night, Great Barrington, BUSK, Busk, is a free community focused cultural event held in downtown Great Barrington Friday and Saturday nights. So there's that still left. I do want to say too, Shakespeare and Company has a great, great season coming up. And when I have more time, I will read it to you. But it's just an amazing season. August Wilson's The Piano Lesson. And I want to just let people know, Shakespeare and Company has Shakespeare plays, but it also has modern plays. So don't rule out Shakespeare and Company. Oh, I don't do that. With that, I would say to you all, my friends, God bless. And today, let's take care of each other. Let's lift somebody's spirits. Be with them. Help them out. Don't put them down. You'll be better off for it, and so will they. Thank you for your listening and viewing, and God bless, and see you soon. God willing. Goodbye.